You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Here are your hosts, Van Allen Clixico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Clixico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we have baked the potatoes, and now we prepare to play the team for whom I would even cheer for this team against. I always imagine the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov standing out there in the middle of the wrestling ring where they're playing that.
Nice.
Iran number one, Russia number one, USA boo. You remember the good old days of the Cold War in wrestling? I love that he was the Iron Sheik, which means he was an Arab, and he was for Iran, which is Persian. They have nothing to do with each other other than, you know, the religion thing. So it's like if we said Canada number one, Mexico number one. This is all our way of just trying not to think about what's coming up on Saturday, I'm afraid. Am I wrong to just kind of want to look away?
Sure, but, you know, that's why we have the podcast. Other people can listen to us, try and make some sense of it. So,
oh, Lord help us. Lord help everyone involved in that whole equation. Because, you know, as far as seasons go.
Oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one.
It is.
Hear that, Elizabeth?
Yep.
I'm coming to join you, honey.
It's the big one. This is the big one every year. But unfortunately, and I'll mention this in the factoid in a couple of minutes, it hadn't always been a good one when it's the big one. So there have been moments. Heaven knows. I mean, you know, there have been those.
Holy cow! Oh, my God!
Kind of moments. But overall, it hasn't been that good. So, how you been before we get into it?
I'm fine. I, you know, enjoyed watching us crush Idaho yesterday and getting to see a lot of the backups play. That was nice.
A game that went about 4.5 hours. What was up with that?
A lot of passing.
Was that it?
I mean,
yeah. You had to think Pat Dye was just up there going,
I had this thing over an hour and a half ago.
Yeah. Run, you wish for the running clock at some point.
Oh, yeah. Pat Dye had like a control, remote control in his pocket. And if he wanted the game to be over, that game was going to be over. I've sat in some games at Jordan-Hare where the second half took about 21 minutes to play. And then he'd come out there and shake the hand of the other coach and say, there's a mighty fine football team you got there, after we beat them like 76-3, you know.
Nice.
He'd come out and shake the Cincinnati coach's hand. There's a mighty fine football team you got there. He always would say that. And, you know. Here's your check. Have a nice bus trip back.
Well, what did you think of the lesser Petrino?
I don't know the man's personal peccadilloes as well as I do the other ones, the other Petrino. I was noting that fully 33% of our wins this season have come over the Petrino family, and that's not a bad thing.
It's too bad there's not more of them.
Yeah, wheel out some more Petrinos for us, absolutely. But I don't know. I mean, it was kind of like watching A-Day, wasn't it, in a way?
It was. I mean,
everybody gets to play, and you never think you're going to lose.
No, I mean, they're not a very good team. And I read something where the week before they played us, they played a team, and they only played like 31 guys. Idaho only played like 31 players.
Wow.
Like on defense, they only played like 12 guys.
Good grief.
Yeah, so I think that was part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, on offense, they were not horrible.
No, they had some talented guys. I mean, they had some guys who could play. And, you know, they were aggressive. So, but it was, you know, it was like you said, it was, we played a lot of the backups. We gave Javon the ball a lot more than, you know, at the beginning of the game. We let Jeremy throw it a little bit more. You know, and there were some big plays. I mean, the great interception return by Rudy Ford was great, and the defense had a really good goal line stop, and those were good things. And but mainly it was, you know, a chance for rest a lot of the injured guys and play a lot of the backups. You know, we played it up playing Tucker Tuberville and everybody.
Yeah, Tucker played. That was exciting.
Yeah. So just give all those guys a chance to play, you know, and rest all the injured guys before we play Alabama. So,
well, one thing that struck me funny is that their quarterback that they had a quarterback. They played two quarterbacks, but one of them ran a good bit too, Jake Luton. And I just, mm-hmm. that just struck me as funny because there was an episode of Space 1999 called The Rules of Luton. And every time they'd call his name, I would just hear in my head, "People of Moonbase Alpha, blah, blah." I just kept waiting for, like, aliens to come out and, you know, carry him away. But here's the weird thing about it. Don't look at the box score and tell me how many Auburn players registered at least one carry as a rusher in this game?
8?
11.
Wow.
11. Now, 3 of them only had one carry. Now, what's weird is that one of those who only had one carry was...
Carry on my wayward son.
But Tucker Tuberville had more carries than Kerryon Johnson.
I think Kerryon must be a little banged up or something. I don't know why they didn't just hold him out entirely.
Yeah, really? That was odd.
Mm-hmm.
Either play him or don't play him at all. Get him in there just for one to get a shot. Maybe just to kind of keep him in this, keep him in things, you know, keep his attention. But
sure.
Javon Robinson, 15 out of – we had 11 people carry the ball and nobody had 100 yards.
That's weird.
Javon Robinson had 99, averaged 6.6. Rock Thomas – Rock Thomas averaged 19.5 yards a carry.
Well, he only had like 2 carries or something, right?
He had 4 for 78, but of the 78, one of them was 56, which was kind of an A-Day carry, you know, where he slips around and goes. Remember that? That's when the A-Day game made us think that big things were coming. Oh, because Jeremy's throwing it all over the place and Rock runs for long touchdowns and we're just like, oh, we're going to be a monster. And then somehow it just didn't materialize. Peyton Barber had 12 for 47, 3.9 average. So Javon Robinson almost doubled the yards per carry of Peyton Barber, plus a long of only 15. Lawyer Tillman, 5 for 24. John, I didn't think he had any eligibility left.
That would be his son. And I loved Lawyer Tillman as a player.
Man, he's a running back.
He is. His dad was a huge wide receiver in like the 87, 88 teams. And
everybody knows this, right? Lawyer Tillman was like one of the greatest wide receivers in Auburn history. I mean, he had so many moments where he just beat the other team.
Had a big reverse where he ran it in.
Let's hit a few of the highlights. Okay, he burst on the scene in 86, the end of his sophomore year, against Georgia in a game that ultimately Auburn lost because of a really bad call where Brent Fullwood broke loose for the winning touchdown and the referee said he had blown the whistle that he was down.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the famous nothing stinks like a wet dog game where we hose the Georgia fans in the stands and on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that but in that game, the reason that Brent Fullwood would have won the game on that run was because Georgia had gotten off to a big lead and then Berger just started throwing the ball to Lawyer Tillman almost every play, and Tillman had like amazing, I know it probably wasn't this many, but it seemed like 250 yards of receiving in the second half. I remember Vince Dooley after the game saying, well, we nearly blew the game. We couldn't ever seem to cover Lawyer Tillman. And that wasn't a bad Dooley. So that was where he kind of burst on the scene. And then the next week against Alabama, we were down 17-14 in the fourth quarter to Alabama in Legion Field. And we get down to like the Alabama 20 or something, and time's running out. And Dye is trying to send his reverse specialist receiver onto the field. Do you remember who that was?
It was a smaller guy, but I can't remember who it was.
It was Scott Bolton, the brother of my boss at the AU bookstore when I used to work at the AU bookstore.
Sure.
Hank Bolton.
Yes, I remember that.
And Scott Bolton couldn't be found, or Dye couldn't remember his name or something, and so Lawyer Tillman stayed in and was in the position of the reverse guy, and Lawyer took the reverse and went in for the touchdown, and so the reverse to victory bumper stickers were everywhere that year. And then, of course, in 87 and 88, he had a bunch of huge games. He had a huge catch against Alabama in the in one of those two. And he, I guess the 87 when we scored the one touchdown to beat him 10-0. And everybody remembers.
He had a big catch in the Georgia game that year, too.
Yeah, and everybody remembers probably the biggest catch he had was the Georgia Tech game in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
where Jim Fife had a meltdown.
I was there. That was the Andre Bruce game.
That was the Andre Bruce game. And it's funny because there's just two players that people kind of remember from that game. Andre Bruce destroyed Tech in like the last 10 seconds of the game, scoring two touchdowns, right, or something like. No, he
had like, I can't remember. He had three sacks and caused a couple of fumbles. That one game was the game that caused the Falcons to make him the first pick in the draft.
The first pick, not in the first round, but the first overall pick. Yeah, but yeah, it was. We were losing to Georgia Tech in Atlanta, and I guess that was 87. Yeah, and it was the last time we were going to play them every year in Atlanta or in Auburn. We came back and played them in 88 in Auburn, but that was the last one in Atlanta regularly scheduled. And they were beating us the whole game, and Jeff Berger hit Tillman in the back of the end zone. A bullet by Berger! Tillman! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! A bullet by Berger! That was how he went bananas.
That was an impressive fife. We're venturing far afield from Idaho, though.
Exactly. That's my plan, to keep us as far afield as possible. And so anyway, yeah, he had some really big moments, and it was neat to see his son out there carrying the ball a little bit. He had five carries for 24 yards, 4.8 long of eight. So that's pretty good. So what did you think about how Auburn's offense overall looked? I mean, we knew we were going to have Jeremy, and he went the whole way. And what did you think?
I mean, it was fine. I mean, you know, we're missing two starting offensive linemen, and you know, I we tried to work on throwing it a little bit. We had some success on that, but you know, not a ton of deep passes. So. You worry a little bit about that, but I mean, Auburn, you know, stopped throwing it at some point because we were up to a big lead. So we only attempted 19 passes in the game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like we were chucking it downfield every time. So, it was good to see Javon run. That was the part of the game I enjoyed, and the defense played well. But I don't think we got a whole lot out of it other than that. Playing time for the backups, that was really it.
You know that Ricardo Lewis has two more games in an Auburn uniform.
Yes.
I'm really curious to see where he ends up on the statistics list, since he played pretty – he got a lot of playing time, at least 3 years of his career, right?
He doesn't have that many catches, though.
He's had a lot of targets. He hasn't had as many catches, but I am just curious because, you know – a lot of our mid-level passing statistic records are held by Terry Bowden's receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if he's going to break into any of that crowd. Just on the sheer number of games he's played. I mean, because, you know, he's played more than Duke Williams will have ended up playing. He's played more than what's his name last year is going to end up playing since he left to go pro.
He could, but he really doesn't have that many, his numbers overall.
Yeah. So. It'll be interesting to see kind of where he fits in compared to like a Carson
if you want to talk
Bailey
about
or a Tyrone numbers, Goodson or those kind of guys.
If you want to talk about numbers, the interesting one is Peyton Barber has, you know, is like 50 yards shy of 1,000.
There you go.
53 yards shy of 1,000.
So. Well, and it's been a long time since we didn't have a 1,000-yard back. Was it 08? I mean, yeah, was it 08?
Yes.
Because I know we had one every year since we've had Gus involved. And mm-hmm. we know that Trey had 1,000 yards, like, just exactly in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, it's been since 08 that we haven't had a – that's not too bad.
No, but that's why I kind of hoped he'd get a little bit more this week.
Yeah, because he's not going to get 50 next week.
Well,
I don't think.
You go ahead.
What'd you think about Javon Robinson and the rest of the rushing game and all that?
I mean, I thought they looked really good, but I mean, I don't think Idaho's particularly good on defense. And I like watching Javon run. I think he's really good, but I don't think he could take a lot away from it. So
no, I just don't know how much we can take away from this game.
No.
What about the defense? I mean, we gave up 34 points to Idaho. You got to think we played a lot of backups, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, early on in the game, we were up. I mean, I don't know. It was really big. Like 4 scores or something. And at that, at that point after halftime, we started putting in a lot of the backups. And late in the game, they scored a couple of touchdowns against like the third and fourth string. We were, playing Tucker Tuberville on offense, and they scored 14 points in the fourth quarter against basically the third and fourth string defense. So,
doesn't
mean anything.
When the game was 7-7 after they played like 2 plays and got a touchdown to tie it, didn't you just kind of go, "Yep, that's what I kind of figured."
Sure, that I didn't enjoy that, but
I'm like, "Yep, here we are." You just know that the Legion Field is like, "On scores from other games, Auburn 7, Idaho 7," and I'm sure that Legion Field was just like, "Ah," because I think about such things as they're happening, and it bothers me so. Anything else about Idaho we want to talk about, or about that game, or about where we are right now?
Well, the only other thing is I was listening to the Auburn radio broadcast of the game while it was going on for part of it. And,
lucky you, because my gosh, the TV. Ugh.
And Stan White described Javon Robinson as having like Emmitt Smith like cutting ability.
Emmitt Smith, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I wish that somebody else had come up with that comparison earlier. That's interesting.
Shocking.
Yeah, that's how I saw it. I told you, I
laughed out loud when I heard that.
It's funny. I'm sure you get this from Denise as well. My wife always laughs because I'll say something. I'll like make an observation, and then immediately the TV guys will say it. And after it happens like 4 or 5 times, she's like, "Why don't you?" I don't know what she'll say, but it's just so funny because it always I'll say something like, "Oh, the offensive lineman was clearly holding there, they didn't call it or something," and they'll be like, "Oh, they were holding on that one and didn't call it." It's just funny how, I mean, you would see it. Most of our listeners would see the same things, but it's just kind of funny when the wives who aren't really into football, they're like, "Whoa, how did you know that?" the game. Okay, so anything else about this past weekend before we move forward?
Nope.
All right, well, let's see if we've got a...
Factoid of the Week.
Factoid of the Week.
Okay, and I know that you don't see the purpose in this one, and it is kind of a downer, but I just had to throw this out here because it's one of these statistics that just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it kind of makes you stop and go, "Man, that's seriously?" And that is this. The last time Auburn beat both Alabama and Georgia in the same season and did not go on to play for the SEC and at least some claim to a national championship was 2005. Before that, the last time it happened, okay, other than 2005, which is a year we should have played for the SEC championship except for a missed, like 6 missed field goals at LSU, or 5 or whatever it was, right? I mean, if we hadn't missed 8,000 field goals at LSU, that team would have kept the trend alive. So if we'd made just one of those field goals in Baton Rouge in 2005, I would be able to say right now that the last time Auburn beat both Alabama and Georgia in the same year and did not go on to play for at least some share of the national championship or SEC championship was 20 years ago.
Wow.
Now, that says as much about Alabama and Georgia as it does about us, right? Because that means they've been really good. I think that's what it means. But it's still, it's pretty amazing to say that 20 years ago, other than, you know, 2005. So once every 10 years, we seem to beat them in a year when doing so will not propel us on to bigger things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So is it time for listener questions?
It is.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
And John, I have a listener question from me, because okay. I do listen to the show occasionally. And I go, what are these idiots talking about now? I'm looking at the headline here, Hawkeyes move up to number 3 in AP poll. Iowa is number 3? I mean, I know they're undefeated, but have they played anybody?
Yes and no. I mean, they're in the weaker side of the Big Ten, so they haven't played Michigan or Michigan State or Ohio State.
So they haven't played anybody. This is like if South Carolina was undefeated and hadn't played Alabama or, you know, on a regular year, Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Arkansas or Auburn or whoever, you know, in a regular year.
That's fair. I mean, it's not going to matter because they're going to get to the Big Ten title game and play, you know,
one of those probably Michigan or
Michigan State probably. And
yeah.
But I mean, they're good. They're not terrible. So they're solid.
So Michigan State pretty much has the Big Ten, whatever division locked up, don't they?
Yeah.
Because I mean, they beat Ohio State and Michigan.
They did.
So it doesn't matter who wins the Ohio State Michigan game. They both lost to Michigan State.
It does, because Michigan State could lose to Penn State.
Oh, if they lose,
and then they would have two conference losses.
Right,
and then the winner of the Ohio State Michigan game would go.
Would go because it wouldn't be a tiebreaker anymore.
That's right.
Okay, math kind of. Okay, what's our listener questions? Thank you for answering mine, by the way.
All right, our first one comes from Scott Schroeder.
Yeah.
Who, in an email to the auwishbone@gmail.com.
We're checking it, and by we, I mean John.
And he says, does the uncertainty at quarterback heading into the offseason with a potentially dynamic JUCO transfer headed away mean we'll certainly be playing for national title next year? There's a pattern there.
There is a pattern. Yeah, I mean, we always do much better in years that nothing is expected. Always. And, you know, the opposite is kind of true, too.
Are you saying something about our expectations next year?
I fought against that very hard in this past offseason, and I was proven so wrong. And I was proven that when it came to making that kind of a conclusion...
I don't have facts to back this up.
And so I basically...
Blame yourself?
I do.
All right. Our next question comes from Auburn Elvis.
Yeah.
Who says, if LSU fires Les Miles, would Georgia hiring him be a nightmare scenario for us?
It's funny. Why would it be a nightmare scenario?
I don't know. Because we'd have to keep playing him every single year?
They could do like the NBA used to do, or maybe still does, and just swap. So you have Mark Richt at LSU and Les Miles at Georgia.
I could see that 100%.
Yeah.
Remember
when the Hawks and the Cavs swapped coaches?
I know you're joking, but they are going to fire Les Miles.
You think?
Yes. And this is how stupid they are. Okay? I mean, to say this is about how unrealistic fans are, okay? Les Miles' buyout is $15 million. I think with his staff, it's $17 million, okay? So somebody's going to write a check for $17 million for that group of coaches not to coach LSU next year. They got Fournette coming back. They got the quarterback and the receivers coming back. They got the number one ranked recruiting class in the country in service right now. And they're going to pay them to go away.
Instant gratification.
I mean, I'm like, who are they going to get? Who are they going to hire tomorrow that's dramatically better than Les Miles?
Well, you know, I made the case last week why we're as bad as anybody about it, though. And sure, I'm not apologizing for it because it's worked out.
Before Nick Saban came to LSU in like whatever year that was, 94 or whatever, 2004.
Wait, who, which?
Before Nick Saban showed up at LSU in 2004.
99 was the last pre-Saban year.
Okay, so 2000.
Yes.
Before Nick Saban showed up at LSU in 2000, they had won the SEC like twice in 60 years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They could absolutely drop back, you know, to the bottom of the West if they screw this up.
Auburn's job is to get LSU's coach fired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we humiliated what's his name in 90?
DiNardo? No.
We got him too in 99. That was the cigar game. But
Curly Hallman?
Curly Hallman in 94. We absolutely got him fired.
Yes.
With the
interception game.
Yeah, the interception game, the cigar game, both cost LSU coaches their jobs.
All right. Our next question comes from Michael Wood, who is talking about the Alabama game. He says, if Auburn slows down Derrick Henry, does he still win an undeserved Heisman?
We got to do like 2000. Was it 2009 that we really held Ingram back, held him to like 35 mm-hmm. yards or something?
Yeah,
that'd be fine. Hey, I'll take my consolation victories any way I can get them. My moral victories. I'll take my moral victories, and I will sing. Go ahead.
All right, Ross Hatcher asks, what percent healthy would Shaun White need to be to give Auburn a better chance of winning this game than Jeremy Johnson?
I don't think it would matter.
No, I think it does matter. I mean,
I think 100% Shaun White starting for us Saturday wouldn't make a significant difference in that game.
I disagree.
Plus, he would get hurt again.
Well, I mean, again, if you're saying Shaun White's 100% healthy, then I would play him.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, they actually started letting him throw the ball down the field a little bit as compared to Jeremy.
What I'm saying is, like, in the games that he played, I saw a difference.
Yeah.
And I saw the passing game was a much, much better.
That's true.
And so if he was, if he was 90% healthy, I'd play him.
And if we had some receivers that could get open and catch the ball, that'd be even better.
But I'm saying, hey, go back and look at the Arkansas game. I mean, Shaun White played in that game and he was healthy and, he was still, so.
I'm not saying that he's not a better option when healthy than anything else we've got. I'm just saying that even then, it still doesn't matter.
It's like saying,
which color of bamboo would you, what color would you like to paint this bamboo wall before the hurricane hits?
I understand.
I think that a blue wall would look better than a yellow wall before the hurricane hits.
I understand that, but I'm an optimist, so I'm talking about what we could do.
Yeah, well.
All right. All Auburn, All Blue ask, which position coaches are most susceptible to replacement? He says lots of recruiters with underperforming units.
That's a very passive aggressive way of putting it, isn't it?
Well,
which assistant coaches
should be replaced?
Should we fire? As opposed to which will just mysteriously cease to coach. I like it. Well, I mean, the word on the street has always been that as much as we were so happy to get our defensive line coach back from Georgia, back in the family, the knock on him has always been that he's a better recruiter than he is a position coach. Ronnie Garner.
Yes.
But I mean, other than that, did I not understand that one of our other coaches has applied for a head coaching job?
Yeah. I mean, there's always a chance that, we're going to lose Muschamp to a head coaching job.
Not him. No, I mean, it was the
running back coach. Horton.
Yeah. Yeah. Horton.
He applied for the North Texas job. So
Mean Green,
I think he wants to be head coach. Maybe he'll get a shot. Again, I've said before, what Auburn needs is consistency.
Yeah.
We need to keep the coaching staff together.
Yeah.
I think the defense is coming together. It's going to be fine. I'm not worried about the defense so much. And, I mean, the offense has run through Gus and Rhett, and Rhett's not changing. So,
You know what? You know what I think we need to hear as we get ready for the Iron Bowl.
What?
That we haven't heard in a while. I think we need to hear from Frank Sinatra and Angie Dickinson.
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, no, this is important, honestly.
Hey, this is important too, Frank. What are you talking about?
All right, Jonathan Harris, who's at AU Zoom, says, hey, how about those Panthers having a great season with some guy named Newton at quarterback? Can we get him to come back and play for one game?
Oh, gosh, yeah. 10-0. I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at their schedule. I haven't got to see them play yet, but I can only I'm going to have to sit down and watch a Panthers game now just to see what it is they're doing, because he's always been good, so I just have to imagine they put some pieces around him, right?
Well, and he's gotten better too, I think.
Yeah.
But his other question is feeds into what we're talking about next, which is the game next week. He says, is there anything we can do to win the Iron Bowl? Can we get a punt, Bama punt, sack Brody, and a kick six in the same game?
That's what it would take.
Yeah, no, it doesn't take that.
I don't know what teams you've been watching.
All right.
You know who beats Alabama, Mr. Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock? Teams that can throw the ball all over the field. Okay, let's move on.
I understand that. So now we're going to talk about Alabama.
Okay, let's.
Again,
Alabama number one, Iran number one, Russia number one, three-way tie for number one.
Similar to your Cold War analogy, they're like the Ivan Drago and Rocky IV. They're not invincible. yes, they are more susceptible than the past and other things. But this is a team that was tied with Arkansas late in the second half and should have lost to Tennessee. So, yes, Ole Miss beat them, and they're playing better now than they were earlier in the season. But they're not invincible. They're not perfect. I mean, in fact, I would tell you this team isn't as good as a 2009, 10, 11 teams.
Really? Well, now, see, you say that.
I'm saying it.
You know what I've done?
I believe it 100%.
I had my Ivan Drago sound effect on here, and I've gotten rid of it. Well, let me just do it.
I must break you.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't very loud. It wasn't very loud anyway.
He is like a piece of metal, a piece of iron.
It is an iron bowl. There you go. Wow. No, you say that, and I kind of thought that too, that this wasn't the greatest Alabama team ever. But it seems like unless they're playing a team that can just throw the ball all over the field, their defense is just tough enough to shut teams pretty much down, and they're able to generate enough offense, certainly with Henry and with a little bit of passing and some quarterback running and stuff, that they're pretty formidable. So,
yeah, I mean, they're back up. They're really, really good at one. They're great at one thing.
Stopping
and
the run.
That's the defensive line stopping the run.
Yep.
But they're not nearly as good on offense as the past couple of Alabama teams are. They don't have a Cooper or anybody like that. Henry is really good. He's very dangerous. Their quarterback isn't nearly as good as the last few teams. I mean, again, this team scored 19 points on Tennessee. Okay, they scored fewer points against Arkansas than we did in regulation. So, and those are both at home.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I'm telling you. Well, let me tell you the scenarios that need to happen. Okay, in the Ole Miss game and in the Tennessee game, Alabama lost a turnover battle. Okay. So that's something that has to happen. We cannot turn the ball over. We need to create turnovers from them. And they do turn the ball over.
Crisco on their footballs. Got it. Next. Right.
The other one is, I'm going to be insane to say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I honestly trust the Auburn defense more than the offense right now in this game. And
that's just insane.
I know it's insane.
Oh, there it is down here at the bottom.
I must break you.
Yeah, you can't even hardly hear that. Sorry.
I heard it. But,
all right.
So, I mean, I know that seems insane, but this isn't the same defense that played LSU.
No.
And I think they're going to be up for this game, and I think they could play well in this game. I don't think it's going to be like last year and they're going to score a gazillion points or roll down the field on us. I think our defense can you know, basically gang up against the run and do everything we can to stop the run. And we're going to play man-to-man and dare them to throw the ball. We're going to put – you know, we're basically going to bring everybody up and play man-to-man on their receivers and dare them. And if they burn us doing that, they do. But we're not going to let Henry, you know, run over us and through us, I think, is the plan. So –
you know, the one good thing, if we find a way to win this game, you know what Nick Saban would be saying in the press conference after the game?
What?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
It would be sweet, wouldn't it?
I mean, the other thing is, you know, not a kick six kind of thing, but we need to make a positive play in special teams. We've gotten burned in special teams a couple times recently, and Alabama's bad on special teams. They're terrible. They're, you know, and they can't, their field goal kicker is not good, and their punter is, you know, drop, you know, that was supposed to be this all world punter is about the same as ours. Mm-hmm. And they're not good in their coverage teams and stuff. So if Auburn could win their turnover battle, win special teams, and the defense could just kind of keep us in the game, then I think it could be, you know, a closer, low scoring game in the mid 20s or something, and Auburn would have a chance to do something. Can we manufacture 20 points? I don't know.
I
mean, if Sean White's 100% healthy and we mix up the pass and the run and do some tricky stuff, maybe.
Kerryon's 100% healthy. And
yeah. I mean,
Golson is 100% healthy. Well, Golson's not even going to play, is he?
Hopefully Golson and Sean Coleman are going to play. But
it didn't sound, you know, like it. But we'll see.
I think, to me, it's a lot of Javon Robinson and try to get maybe Rock Thomas and Kerryon Johnson in space. Get them the ball. If Jeremy Johnson plays and Sean White's not healthy, then I would want to do the read option a lot. Because I think, you know, I think it used to be read option, throw it.
Well, just remember, if Jeremy gets hurt, Tucker Tuberville is carrying the load.
Well, I mean, it'd probably be Jonathan Wallace. Honestly.
Yeah, it'd be Jonathan Wallace, it would.
But, I mean, that is what it is. I mean, you're not going to win this game being conservative. I mean, part of me thinks, you know, like the defense is playing great, you know, played a little closer to the vest. The other, I mean, there's two scenarios offensively. One is kind of the mad bomber approach.
Yeah.
I mean, old
2009.
Last year's game.
Yeah, yeah.
Our game against Alabama last year, or the Ole Miss game this year.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, when they beat Alabama this year, they average like 20 yards a completion. Okay. I mean, they averaged 20 yards every time a guy caught the ball. So it has to be something like that where you really, really just chucking it way downfield and hitting a big play after big play. And that's what they did. So, I mean, I don't think you're going to win it against them with a lot of, you know, this screen pass stuff at the line of scrimmage kind of thing. I think that's useless. So. And I don't think we're going to be able to run a bunch of wildcat. I don't think that's going to work.
Well, you remember the 09 playbook, though. They ran reverses. They did onside kicks. They just kind of did everything crazy.
I mean, that's the other
almost
that's the other scenario is, you know, if we really think they're better than us and our offense can't manufacture points because we can't run the ball on them, then you go to the 2009 playbook, which is onside kick, fake punt, you know, trick play, flea flicker, all that kind of stuff, and just pull it out there and try it, because if it doesn't work, what's the worst that happens?
Yeah.
And again, like 2009, the other part of that game was the defense held up really well, and I think they can. I really believe that our defense can play a good game in this game.
Yep.
You know, I think this is a good spot for our defense. I do. I think they played much better the last few weeks, and I think they're going to come on and play well in this game. So. I mean, that's all I got in terms of you can't run it straight at them. You know, we got to try to get some plays in the perimeter. But because their defensive line is so good, the linebackers, the defensive backs know that, so they slant towards the outside to eat up that stuff. Ragland is excellent, running side to side, taking that stuff down. So, I mean, but the Gus playbook that works against them, and again, you know, we're all like doubting this, but no team has had more yards against Alabama than Auburn in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, we have absolutely owned their defense in the last 2 years. So I don't think there's nothing from a scheme perspective that, you know, you think like Saban or Kirby Smart own Gus. It is purely our guys are going to get, they're going to push our offensive line back and eat the running backs and the quarterback up. But the Gus offense is predicated on misdirection, and they could, you know, if they keep guys off balance and guessing wrong and reading the wrong thing and take advantage of it, then maybe we could score some points and keep the game close. So.
Well, I hope you're right. So that's kind of – this is our Alabama preview, right? Do we have any other questions mixed in here?
Oh, no. No, that's it. That was it. That's why I kind of went in that direction.
Absolutely. Well, then, Mira –
a trip around the FTC.
Woo! So Saturday was kind of weird in some ways.
It was a bad day for the East.
It was. I mean, I watched the first half of Florida versus FAU. FAU! They are neither fish nor fowl. And the power went off here, and we had no electricity for 4 hours. We had to, we actually had to listen to the Idaho game. No, we actually, what I did, I had a backup battery running our Wi-Fi, and the Wi-Fi was pulling off the backup battery and streaming to my iPad. So we had the iPad sitting on the coffee table watching the game on ESPN, watch ESPN app on the iPad.
Nice.
And then the power came back on about 4 hours later. But by then, I'd missed the whole rest of the Florida game. So from what I understand, it was pretty comical.
It was terrible. I mean, and they won it. Florida beat Florida Atlantic in overtime, but they were really bad.
So. And they're our great hope for taking Alabama out of the playoffs.
Well, no, and Florida State.
So. And Florida State, yeah. But they're in Atlanta. They could have lost to Florida Atlantic and then gotten blown out by Florida State, come off of a two-game losing streak to non-conference teams and play Alabama in Atlanta.
Sure.
That would have been hilarious. That would have been so funny. That would possibly be the worst. I may be wrong about this because there have been like 20-something years, 22, how many ever games, but that could possibly be the worst entry of a team into the SEC championship game that's ever happened.
I could see that.
Yeah. Citadel actually beat South Carolina.
Oof.
Cue the House of Cards music.
So I feel so bad.
Okay. Yeah. What did that coach quit too? Did I understand?
No. There was a fake tweet going around last night that he resigned, but he didn't. So.
He followed Spurrier out the window.
No,
he's head of the lynch mob.
He did not. So
23-22. That's a good old fashioned score that we all know. Mm-hmm. So South Carolina, they've got to find something. I mean, and they can't be in the top five programs looking for a coach right now, considering how many teams will be looking for a coach, right?
Well, I mean, if LSU and Georgia are looking for coaches, then no. But if not, I mean, then it's like Southern Cal, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Missouri. I mean,
well, you know what's funny is that South Carolina right now kind of knows what it's like to have been Auburn for the last few years because their cross-state rival is number one.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, doesn't it, South Carolina? It really does.
And then the other one, like we just talked about, Ole Miss crushed LSU.
That was unbelievable, yeah.
LSU's fallen off a cliff, and they really are going to fire Les Miles, which is just insane.
And meanwhile, you are absolutely right that Ole Miss absolutely choked and blew the whole season by losing that overtime game to Arkansas.
It is, again, that stupid lateral play against Arkansas is going to keep them out of the SEC title game and let Alabama get in.
Here's another factoid. I'm not going to waste our time with the noise, but here's another factoid. Most of you know this. Ole Miss has never been to the championship game. They're the only Western team that's been in the league more than 5 minutes, Texas A&M, that has never been, ever. Mississippi State has been to the SEC championship game and lost, but Ole Miss is the only one that's been there a while and has never been. They missed it by one game when LSU beat them in 2003 with Eli Manning, and they blew it this time. Ugh. 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 Okay.
And then
Mississippi State, Arkansas. What was that?
It was a great game, and it was really what it was two quarterbacks who were absolutely on fire.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott and Brandon Allen put on a show. It just they rolled up and down the field like boom, 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 score, boom, 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 score. And at the end of the game, this was so great because in 2013, end of the game, Brandon Allen throws an interception and they lose to Mississippi State. In 2014, end of the game, Brandon Allen throws an interception and they lose to Mississippi State. So this year, at the end of the game, they're in field goal range. They play for the field goal and don't throw it.
Right. He doesn't throw the interception. Hey,
so that doesn't happen again.
There you go, Arkansas. You got it so far. And then what happened?
They blocked the field goal. But you know that history was in their head. He was on fire. He rolled down about the 10-yard line easily. They should have let him throw the end zone.
But it would have been funny if they'd intercepted him for the third year in a row.
That would have been so brutal.
Oh, man. They blocked the field goal. Dude just came right up the middle and swatted the ball right back down. They were saying, don't blame the kicker. It was the offense. It was the line. So, yeah. Georgia had to go to overtime. How in the crap do we lose to Georgia at home and then they go and have to go to overtime with Georgia Southern? What is the world coming to?
Well, again, Georgia Southern's really good. And that reminds me of did you see the 1AA playoff bracket came out today?
No.
The whatever we're calling it now, FCS. And do you know who the number one seed is?
I'm imagining Jacksonville State.
It's Jacksonville State. Undefeated other than our game.
Other than us. And they took us to the limit.
Yeah.
One more time. Tennessee beat Missouri in what appears to be a very, very long played baseball game.
Yeah, you know, Missouri's good on defense and terrible on offense, and that was it. So.
Texas A&M beat Vandy by a score that doesn't really compute in football terms, 25-0.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but, you know.
They scored 5 5-point field goals. It's a Vanderbilt thing that you just don't have to, you know. If you score against Vanderbilt, you only get 5 points because it's Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So Vanderbilt. It's like in golf when you have a handicap.
That's
it. When you score against Vanderbilt, you only get 4 and an extra point. Okay, I'm sorry. No, their defense is pretty good this year, I know, but it's still funny.
They are.
And in the basketball game, UNC Charlotte must have been really cold from three-point land and from the field because it was 58-10.
Kentucky.
Kentucky was able to knock down 58 points, but UNC Charlotte got held to only 5 2-pointers, I guess. Or maybe they got 3 3-pointers and they made one, you know, and one on the foul. He was foul going up for the shot. So 58-10. I know I'm beating that joke to death, but I just find it continuously funny, so I just keep flailing it, okay?
All right.
What's coming up?
All right, Friday we got Missouri at Arkansas. That's a Friday afternoon game.
This is the kind of game Arkansas finds a way to at least make competitive or if not lose.
Yeah, but at home I think they're – and Missouri's terrible in offense.
I know, but still, Arkansas is Arkansas.
All right. And then Saturday we got Clemson at South Carolina.
Oh, chickens. But, you know, I guess I should cheer for Clemson because I don't want to make it any easier for any other teams that I don't like to get into the playoffs.
I just assume Clemson lose. But,
yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Got to go with the chickens.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah. I don't like that game at all.
Louisville, Kentucky.
What time do they tip off?
These are all noon games.
I think I'm going to take Kentucky by a late three-pointer.
All right. Vanderbilt, Tennessee.
I think Tennessee's got this.
Yeah. And then the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss at Starkville.
You know what? I'm changing up.
My cold, dead hands.
Everything, logic and reason and sanity, all point to Ole Miss winning this game. So I'm going to say Mississippi State wins it. Because if there's one thing we know about the Egg Bowl, it's the team that's not supposed to win often wins it. And I think it's because, you know, they always say about the Iron Bowl, throw the record books out the window. Right? Throw the record books out the window. But that's usually not true with the Iron Bowl. Usually the better team wins in the Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm. We remember a handful of upsets, but usually the better team wins. But the thing is, with Ole Miss and Mississippi State, when one of them is better than the other, it's usually not by much. Right? It's not like Ole Miss is rolling out a number two team in the country and Mississippi State's unranked. I mean,
that's right.
They're usually close enough to be competitive, and often the underdog finds a way to win. So I'm going to go ahead and lock up Mississippi State.
All right. Florida State at Florida.
Florida's still higher ranked than Florida State. That's kind of funny.
They've only lost one game.
I know, but my gosh. Who do you like in that game?
I mean, it's in Gainesville. I got to think they played better. I mean, I hate Florida State.
I hate them both.
I hope Florida wins. But, I mean, Florida State, I think Dalvin Cook's probably the best player in the field. So.
Yeah, that's the truth. But Florida's got a good defense.
Yeah.
I got to go with the Meteor.
All right. I'm all for that. And then finally, Texas A&M at LSU.
You know, I would pick LSU, but.
Could be the less emotional Les Miles finale.
Two teams that have disappointed in the second half of the season. I think that the winner here will be the people that don't watch this game. Those that tune in to some other game will be the real winners.
Outstanding.
That's my lock of the week. The people that don't watch that game, they win. And then there's a little game in a little town on the plains. What do you think? Alabama, number two. And if there's ever been a more apt description of Alabama than Alabama, number two, I don't know what it is. That's exactly the truth. Alabama is number two against Auburn on CBS. Not cause of us, I'm afraid, that it's on CBS. Vern and Gary, what do you think, John?
I mean, I told you, the scenario is I think Auburn can win. I'm not optimistic. I think it's going to be closer than people think, because I think we're going to do some 2009 kind of stuff. And I think the defense is going to keep the game close, but a lot has to go Auburn's way for us to have a chance to beat them. And the biggest thing is just because the only thing we're really good at is running the ball straight ahead, and that's not going to work against them. So, that's the problem.
Cam Newton's not walking through that door.
He is not.
Nick Marshall's not walking through that door. Trey Mason.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
I look at it, I'd like to say, but I don't see it. I hope I'm wrong. I may go out and do something else and just see what the score is when it's over.
No,
do I have to watch it?
You have to.
I have to keep that appointment TV?
You do.
All right. Oh, a couple quick things. In rushing offense, Alabama has fewer yards per game than Auburn, 189 to 200. In passing offense, Alabama only has about 40 yards more per game than we do. Alabama's only number 70 in the country in passing. In total offense, it's really not that much more. In scoring, they're outscoring by about 6 points, about 34 to 28. In third down conversions on offense, we are actually better than them at 43.1 to 36.4.
See, again, those are all things that tell me, like, this is a good Alabama team, a very good Alabama team. But the biggest thing is, and this is, they're really good at stopping the run, and this is the worst year of SEC quarterbacks in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the SEC. This year, the SEC is down. The SEC is as bad as it's been in a long time, and there are no good quarterbacks other than like Kelly and Dak Prescott. Brandon Allen's okay, but everybody else is terrible. And to beat Alabama, if it was the year when there was 10 really good quarterbacks and great passing offenses, I think they'd probably lost a couple more games. But there's just not. You got a bunch of teams that can run the ball and can't do anything else. So.
I think that the one that bothers me the most, third down conversion defense,
mm-hmm.
Alabama's number 8 nationally. We're number 117.
Sure.
That's a problem.
But I think we've gotten better the last month. I think a lot of that was early. So
Alabama has thrown more interceptions this season than we have.
Sure.
Think about that with like Jeremy and Coker, everything.
Coker doesn't scare me. Like the idea, like if we shut down their running game or slowed it down and made them throw the ball a lot and third and long and stuff, Coker doesn't scare me. And the receivers don't terrify me either. So
they have about twice as many penalty yards per game as we do.
They're a much more penalized team. And
turnover margin's about the same.
Mm-hmm.
Punting average is about the same. So the real difference, like you say, is third down defense and rushing defense.
And again, no, this is not shocking news to anybody, but the kicker is not good. So if we can hold them to field goal attempts, then we might be in a decent shape. So
yeah,
that's the other thing.
Well.
You got to think, like, what are the ways you don't want to lose this game?
On the scoreboard.
Well, you don't want Derrick Henry to, like, trample our defense.
No.
So, I mean, I don't care, you know, if Coker ends up throwing for 300 yards and torching us or whatever, fine, that happens. But I would put 9 guys up at the line of scrimmage and put everybody on Henry every single time. And if other guys beat us, then they do. But I wouldn't let them beat us by running the ball straight at us and over us. So.
Well, what have we learned tonight, John?
We've learned you're not very optimistic about that.
No. I don't think I have a reason to be, but I don't think that's me being Debbie Downer so much as just looking at the situation, the facts on the ground. This is a playoff team currently going up against a team that had to beat Idaho in game 11 to get bowl eligible.
Sure.
Now, I know that we were one play away in all those other games, and I know that we're very close, and I know that a couple of new players next year, and we could be right back in contention, and that's what I'm hoping and counting on that will happen, so we can enjoy another decade or more of great coaching by Gus. But I just don't have a lot of hope for this one particular Saturday in the fall this year.
Sure.
So it would be a humongous upset.
It would. We'd enjoy the heck out of it.
Be sure, if you're going to the game, to go by, I believe, J&M Bookstore?
No. Auburn University Bookstore.
Wave it off. No J&M. No J&M. Stay away. It's the Auburn University Bookstore in Haley Center.
It is the Auburn University Bookstore in Haley Center from... Yes. 10 a.m. to noon Central Time, Ken Ringer will be signing his book, Lorendo, and he will be joined by a couple of players from the 1972 Auburn team.
Punt, which is, Bama, punt, the Amazons.
Which is called the Amazons, including Mac Lorendo, Gene's son, who is captain and all SEC tackle, and Randy Walls, who's a quarterback of that team.
You people have got to get there because that is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That is pretty amazing. How come we didn't have that when we did our book signing a couple years ago? How come we didn't have any players from like the
I don't know. And it's
how come we didn't have Cadillac sitting there with
Alabama Week at the University Bookstore too? So.
Got to think that's going to bring in some people. So yeah, it's a great book, great opportunity to meet John's dad and pick up a copy or get the copy you have signed and meet those former players. That's going to be awesome. Really looking forward. Looking forward to hearing how that all plays out. So that'll be cool. All right. I think we also learned that I would rather cheer for the Soviet Union than Alabama.
I already knew that.
And I'm going to go ahead and say, and we'll play ourselves out, but I will go ahead and say, War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Number one, Russia, number one, Iran, number one. Go to bed.
Night, man.